Hello, hello, hello. I am Matt Williamson. As I mentioned last week when we had Jonah Tulls on, we might start doing Tuesday with Tulls, talking draft. Jonah, how's things going?
It's going good, man. Thanks for having me on again, and I can't wait to be doing this little weekly series we have going on.
Yeah, this is a blast. And are you going to be at the Combine?
I will not be, but, you know, I'll be watching from here back home, and I'll be definitely giving you guys analysis
Okay.
and articles and some of the top prospects over there.
Yeah, because I'm going, and I was just hoping maybe we'd run into each other. But apparently that's not going to be the case, but such is life. And actually, for our listeners, it'll be about this time next week that I'll be arriving in Indy. It's like a six-hour drive. We're leaving around noon, get there around dinner time, check in, and then we'll start doing radio shows every day during the week. So I should have some fun content for all of our Locked On listeners. Jonah, a week ago we talked about some cornerbacks, and you had mentioned you're going to be working on a similar safety article. That isn't out yet, so maybe we'll do that next week. In the meantime, it seems like ancient history, but a week ago was Valentine's Day, and you had your crushes at every position. You picked a guy. It doesn't mean he's the best player at that position or your number one ranked guy, but they're right. Your draft crushes. Is that how that went?
Yeah, so, you know, in the spirit of Valentine's Day, I decided, you know, I'm going to pick one of my favorite prospects I watched on film. And like you said, it's not my top overall prospect. I didn't put, like, you know, Saquon Barkley or, like, Calvin Ridley, those guys. I picked the guys who I think I'm higher on than most of the draft community, and I explained why I'm higher on them. Because, like, these are the guys I'm crushing on. These are guys I liked in my notes. I put them up as guys that I think I'm higher on. So I explained the process, and I just said why I'm crushing on them.
I like it. Okay, so everyone needs to go to NDT Scouting. It's pretty amazing how much content that you guys, and myself too, are pumping out with the draft. And Jonah's is still very available. Just do a search for Jonah Tulls. Tuls, and you'll find exactly this article that we're talking about. Who was your quarterback, and why?
Yeah, so my quarterback, I think this is the obvious one, is Sam Darnold. You know, this is probably the only guy that, you know, I picked the one top prospect of all is Sam Darnold. I mean, you want to separate these quarterbacks. You know, you could talk to any different analyst. They'll have Josh Rosen number one, Baker Mayfield number one, Josh Allen number one, Lamar Jackson number one. So when you look at this, you're trying to separate the quarterbacks. I think most analysts have their guy, and my guy is Sam Darnold. I think when you watch the film, you know, when you watch them live, you're like, man, you're making a lot of Jameis Winston type of decisions. Like, you're hot and cold. You don't know which kind of player you are. Then when you go back to the tape, you see a lot of promise, and you see more promise than any quarterback that in this class to me. You know, we look at guys like Baker Mayfield. You see a late trigger with Rosen. You wonder if he can win in. You can win out of structure when a play breaks down. Josh Allen, the inconsistencies. With Darnold, I think he checks all those boxes. I just don't think he does it consistently enough to where you can say, that guy's a slam dunk Andrew Luck kind of prospect. You look at the mechanics, you know, they're just not there right now. The throwing motion is a little, you know, wind up-y kind of. And then the feet is the biggest thing, because when you see a lot of his bad decisions and his inaccuracy, it mostly goes back to the feet, because his feet are either not set or they're not, you know, pointing at the receiver. So I think that could be something that he needs to be worked from the ground up, I think. And I think if you put him in the right coaching staff, you put him in the right system, this guy can be a star. I just think it's going to take a team with conviction to take him, because he has the tools to be a franchise quarterback. It just, can you mold him to be that kind of player? Because he checks all the boxes. He's not like Josh Allen, to where Josh Allen has the tools, but he doesn't have the traits. Darnold has both the tools and the traits to be a franchise quarterback. I just think it's just going to take the right team to develop him into one.
Is it safe to say that he's your type of quarterback?
Yeah, he is my type of quarterback, because, like, you need I like guys who can both win in the pocket and guys who can win out of the pocket. And so, like, when you see guys like who face interior pressure a lot, like Rosen, you know, he kind of bails a little bit and he makes more inaccurate throws. And Darnold, when he gets out of the pocket, he's just as good as he's in the pocket. Mayfield almost invites the chaos, and he would rather be out of the pocket than inside the pocket. Darnold could do both. And that, to me, is the biggest factor into why Darnold's my quarterback one and why I think he is my type of guy.
Rashad Penny from San Diego State is your running back crush. I know he's not your running back one, but why are you crushing on him?
Yeah, so Rashad Penny's another one of those guys who I just gravitate toward those kind of running backs. A couple of years ago, it was Devontae Booker. I think he's a very similar player in that regard. In terms of, you look at the vision and look at the power, that combination is one of the biggest things, because two of the most important traits you look for in a running back, to me, number one, you have to have the ability to, you know, run through chaos and look through in the midst of traffic and the blocks and stay and have the patience and the vision to run inside. You don't just bounce every play. Penny has that. And I think he's one of the smartest running backs in terms of that regard in this draft class. Then the second thing is that you have to be able to win after contact. If you can't break tackles or you can't keep trucking along when someone's on your shoulder or on your back, you're not going to be able to succeed in the NFL because you either have to make someone miss LeSean McCoy style, or you have to be able to make someone miss by breaking a tackle. So to me, Rashad Penny can do both those things. And I think he checks all the traits I look for. I think the one thing you got to be concerned with is the pass protection. But I said this earlier on the Mountain West Wire podcast, is that every college running back is going to have to go through a pass protection adjustment at the NFL level. So even though Saquon Barkley or Darius Geis might be good college pass protectors, they're still going to have an adjustment like Rashad Penny is going to have. The reason why Rashad Penny wasn't a good pass protector was because he didn't have much experience in it. And that's probably because San Diego State was riding his back to victory, whether it was throwing the ball or running the ball. So Rashad Penny doesn't have as much experience as those other guys. That's why you'll get a knock on him saying, well, he can't be a three-down running back. Well, give him time to learn how to pass protect. I think he will be able to do that because he has the traits. He has the power. He has the want to. He just doesn't have the technique yet because he wasn't taught that as much because they were always running, giving him the ball or throwing him the ball. So to me, I think Penny's one of the most well-rounded running backs in this class. You look at it in terms of nuance, as a nuanced runner, in terms of the way you look at his vision, his footwork, just the overall technique of the running back position, I think he's one of the most nuanced and advanced running backs in this class. You wonder about the upside. His upside's not going to be as high as a Barkley, Geis, or Ronald Jones, but you think he can be a 1,000-yard rusher at the next level.
Yeah, those are great points, and especially when they don't come from a powerhouse school. Clearly, he's their best offensive weapon. The last thing their coaching staff wants to do in order to win football games is to have him to block.
Right.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so like one of the things like you just mentioned, like they're gonna give him the ball at all costs. I mean, like when you go to Penn State, LSU, USC, you have other playmakers on the offense. The only playmaker on the offense for San Diego State was Rashad Penny. San Diego State won their games based on how Rashad Penny ran the ball or caught the ball. So if Rashad Penny rushed for 150 yards, San Diego State probably wasn't winning that game. And so when you look at the small school San Diego State, he arguably had his best games against the best competition. You know, Boise State, Stanford, those teams where they have good NFL draft prospects. Stanford has Harrison Phillips. Boise State has a Leighton Vander Esch. Talking about solid top 100 defensive prospects, and this guy is having great running game production. To me, Rashad Penny, like I said, most of running all well-rounded running backs in this class. I would take him in the second round without question if I was DMing a team.
Production is not a problem for your wide receiver. Tell me about James Washington. I guess he lit it up at the Senior Bowl as well.
Yeah, so I was really sold on him when I went to Mobile, watch him live. Because you watch him on tape, you're like, he runs a limited route tree. You know, kind of like Corey Coleman in that regard, to where they're kind of like boxing him into either running a slant, you're running a smoke route, or you're running a go. Those are really only three routes he ran at Oklahoma State. And then so you're like, man, I don't know how nuanced he is as a route runner yet and how it's going to translate. Then you watch him go to Mobile, and they ask him to run the full route tree, and no corner could guard him.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, when you look at the top receivers going to those postseason games, you want them to separate themselves from the small school guys and the guys who are in the lower tier. James Washington did just that. And I think one of the other big concerns about him was against press coverage. And he blew me away in that regard. Because when corners try to get their hands on him, he just blew right by them. So to me, James Washington's the best deep threat in this class. If you're looking at a guy who can play the Z and you can stack receivers vertically, this is your guy. And he answered one of the biggest questions: that can he separate laterally? Yes, he can. He can beat man coverage. He can find the open area in zone. I think the only real knock on him is that he has this kind of squatty frame, 5'10", 5'11", looks more like a running back mold, kind of. It's just like,
I was gonna say, he's pretty rocked up.
Yeah, he doesn't have the ideal wide receiver size. I think he's not that 6'2", 6'3". He doesn't have great – and he's 5'10", 225. I mean, he's – more like a running back build, but he has all the wide receiver traits you look for in a guy who could be a future number one. And I'm higher on him than most because I think he can be a future number one. But if you put him in an offense where he could be the Z and a deep threat and a secondary option to start, I think he'll be a great option early on in his career.
Yeah, and it sounds like a guy like him, you have an immediate role for him. It's not like, well, we're going to wait until he develops these things. In the meantime, he can do XYZ for us. And that gives him a lot more, you know, immediate excitement by the coaching staff. Mike Gesicki, Penn State tight end. I watched some of him, and I wasn't impressed with how he moved. And then I watched the Senior Bowl, and I'm like, he looks different.
Yeah, so I think when you watch the tape, like when you initially watch the games, you see him as like a linear athlete, a guy who doesn't really move well laterally, who can just separate on his routes. You know, you see much nuance there, but you see more just a go route, post route, whatever it is, and he can go up and get the ball. That's what you see on tape all the time. He's a great above the rim player, not a great blocker. Mobile kind of confirmed that, but at the same time, no linebacker could guard him. It was crazy. So he was another guy that just sold me on when going to watch him live, because he looked like one of those guys, you know, the NFL is gravitating more to those move tight ends, you know, the Evan Ingrams, the Jordan Reeds,
right?
You know, all those kind of guys. Mike Gesicki, I'm not going to say he's going to give me that kind of caliber player, but he's going to have a role in the NFL. You talk about having a distinct role. Gesicki's going to have a distinct role in the NFL as a receiving tight end, and he does really well at it. A red zone target. And you saw the Senior Bowl practices when they did red zone drills. Nobody could guard him one-on-one because he was so good at the catch point in one-on-one situations. This guy's going to have a distinct role in the NFL, and I think he will go in the second round just because of that. You look at how the NFL's moving towards a move tight end, and I think scouts are going to have to, you know, give him that high grade because of how the NFL's moving that way. So to me, Mike Gesicki is one of my favorite tight ends in this class. I wouldn't be opposed to putting him as a top tight end, even though his blocking ability is more than subpar. He's just not a blocker at all. But the way the NFL's going with the passing game, I think he has to be in consideration for that top tight end just because how well, how advanced he is as a receiver, because he showed how much better of a route runner he really is, because I think Penn State really limited him in terms of what he can run in terms of routes. They wanted him to go up the field. When he at the Senior Bowl, he ran, you know, digs, ran outs, and he was winning. He was separating. So to me, Gesicki has to be in the race for the top tight end in this class.
Intriguing. Another guy that seems to me, you know more about him than I do, that's why we're having this conversation, but has a high ceiling, a lot of athletic ability, could see him testing well next week, Jamarco Jones, Ohio State offensive tackle.
Yeah, to me, this is one of the biggest surprises to me on tape, because you'd never heard from him during the season. He was one of those guys where they didn't get any hype. You heard like Chukwuma Okorafor for Orlando Brown, Connor Williams, all the top guys. They get the hype, but Jamarco Jones really went under the radar. Didn't go to one of the postseason games. He had invites, but declined them. So to me, Jamarco Jones was one of those guys to where you see him as a long player, good feet, you know, looks like a guy who can just mirror and stay in front of pass rushers. You know, he's patient on the inside counters. Ogbonia Okoronkwo from Oklahoma, the edge rusher, he tried to do that spin move or that inside counters all game, and Jamarco Jones shut him down. The one time where he got Jones was one of the last plays of the game on a holding call, but he still didn't get the quarterback. So to me, Jamarco Jones was able to shut down some of the top pass rushers in the nation. He was able to shut down guys like Rashawn Gary, and he had some good reps against other players as well. So to me, Jones had played top level competition. He has all the traits you want in a pass-protecting blindside left tackle. I just don't see why the hype isn't there yet. I think people want to see more menacing run blocker, a guy who's stronger. But to me, what you're looking for left tackle and right tackle is reliability. And if you can be reliable, I think you can be a top 50 kind of player. And that's where I graded him.
And I'm sure offensive line coaches are going to look at him and say, ooh, I want to get my hands on that guy. I can turn him into a star. I just turned in an article actually analyzing the Chargers offseason needs. And it could have went a lot of different directions, but my number one need for the Chargers was center. And the more I've dug into this draft, the more I think this is a pretty good center draft. Like, there might be three or four starters or possibly even high-end starters in the center class, which is very rare. A guy you're obviously very high on, James Daniels, guard / center from Iowa. He's more of a center, though, isn't he?
Yeah, so this guy's a two-year starter at Iowa at center. And to me, I think he's also one of the youngest players in this class. Doesn't turn 21 until September. So, but to me, I think Daniels is one of my favorite prospects in the entire draft. When you look at him as a center, he can also play guard as well to me. So I also put him in that guard-center category. You look at him in a zone-blocking scheme. and what Iowa ran, where he has to reach block a lot, get up to the second level. This guy moves better than, you know, most inter offensive linemen you see coming out of college. And to me, I put him as a guy like Rodney Hudson, the guy for the Raiders, who can really move, get to the second level, you know, get those reach blocks, snatch the block around it. So Daniels is that kind of player. And that's not to say Daniels can't play in a power gap, because he has the power to really dominate in the run game. You look at him in a one-on-one situation, man blocks. You look at him in a down block situation. This guy can move people. And I just don't think he's one of those guys to where you can box him into certain schemes or certain position, because he can play guard. He can play center. He hasn't proven he can play guard, but you look at the traits, you can see that he could translate. So if a team plays a zone blocking scheme, play him at guard, I would not be opposed to it. Play a team plays a power gap and plays on the center still, would be opposed to it. See, Daniels to me is a slam dunk top 20 players. I think he's one of the surest players in his class. He's one of the surest bets. And I'm guarantee that if he goes to a team that uses him properly and gives him an opportunity, he will have a Pro Bowl in his future.
And how many guys from Iowa in the last 10 years have busted from their draft slot? It rarely happens. Well-coached dudes, great program. Scouts know those things.